ஹலோ அண்ட் வெல்கம் டு சர்ஜிக்கல் எஜுகேட்டர் பாட்காஸ்ட். ஐ ஆம் யுவர் ஹோஸ்ட் ஆர் மாஸ்டர் ஆஃப் செரிமனி, அண்ட் டுடே வி ஆர் நேவிகேட்டிங் த இன்ட்ரிகேட் லேண்ட்ஸ்கேப் ஆஃப் மிரிசி சிண்ட்ரோம், எ யூனிக் பட் சேலஞ்சிங் காஸ் ஆஃப் அப்ஸ்ட்ரக்டிவ் ஜாண்டிஸ். அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்டிங் திஸ் சிண்ட்ரோம் இஸ் வைட்டல் ஃபார் மெடிக்கல் ஸ்டூடெண்ட்ஸ் and surgical trainees. Joining us is Professor Dr. Selvaraj, a seasoned general and pediatric surgeon. Welcome, Dr. Selvaraj. Thank you for having me, MC. I am excited to discuss this intriguing topic. What is the epidemiology of Mirisi syndrome, Doctor? Well, Mirisi syndrome is relatively rare, accounting for about 1 to 2% of all cases of obstructive jaundice. It is more common in women and typically affects individuals in their 40s and 50s. What is the etiopathogenesis of Mirisi syndrome, Doctor? Well, this syndrome is often caused by long-standing inflammation of the gallbladder because of gallstone impacting the infundibulum or the Hartmann's pouch of the neck of the gallbladder, leading to the compression or erosion of common hepatic duct. Gallstones play a central role, triggering an inflammatory response that can result in this unique form of obstruction. Well explained, Doctor. Are there different types of Mirisi syndrome? Yes, of course. According to Sanders, in 1983, he described 4 types of Mirisi syndrome. Type 1, compression of the common hepatic duct by an impacted gallstone in the gallbladder neck, that is, in the infundibulum or in the Hartmann's pouch. However, there is no fistula in type 1 variety of Mirisi syndrome. In type 2, there is erosion of the gallbladder wall into the common hepatic duct, forming a fistula, and this is called cholecystocholidocal fistula. And in this type 2, only 1/3 of the circumference of common hepatic duct is involved. Type 3, here also there is cholecystocholidocal fistula, but 2/3 of circumference of common hepatic duct is involved in this type 3 variety. Type 4, here also there is a fistula, but involving the whole circumference of common hepatic duct. Well explained, Doctor. What are the clinical features of Mirisi syndrome? Clinical features include: number 1, obstructive jaundice, a prominent sign due to blockage of the common hepatic duct. Number 2, right upper quadrant pain, which is often colicky in nature. Number 3, fever and chills. This is indication of infection, underlying infection. Number 4, nausea and vomiting, especially after meals, they tend to have this nausea and vomiting. How is Mirisi syndrome diagnosed, Doctor? Diagnosis involves: number 1, imaging studies such as ultrasound, CT scan or MRCP. to visualize the biliary system, where we will find out the dilatation of common hepatic duct and the intrahepatic biliary radicals. Usually, there won't be any dilatation of common bile duct, unlike the cholelithiasis. Here, the common bile duct is not dilated, only common hepatic duct and the proximal intrahepatic biliary radicals will be dilated. This is the classical picture. Number two, we can do ERCP or the endoscopic retrograde cholangiopancreatography, which provide detailed images of bile ducts, and potentially it is also serving as a therapeutic tool. Temporarily, we can put a stent inside using ERCP so that the patient will get relieved of jaundice. What are the complications which can arise from Meniere's syndrome, doctor? Certainly, complications may include, number one, cholecystitis, that is inflammation of the gallbladder. Number two, empyema of the gallbladder, that is accumulation of pus within the gallbladder, that is empyema. If you are not going to, treat this empyema, the gallbladder may even perforate, resulting in biliary peritonitis. Number three, biliary fistula, abnormal connection between the bile duct and the surrounding structures. In Meniere's syndrome, one of the components is the cholecystocholidactyl fistula. So these type of fistulas are very common in Meniere's syndrome. Well explained, doctor. What are the treatment options for Meniere's syndrome? Well, the treatment involves, number one, surgery, which is the cornerstone of treatment. Removal of the gallbladder and management of any associated complication is the ideal treatment in case of Meniere's syndrome. But in many cases of Meniere's syndrome, lap coli may not be possible because of severe inflammation and dense adhesions. And safely, we can do open subtotal cholecystectomy, where GB is transected at the level of its neck. Just proximal to the neck, we have to transect the gallbladder. We need not remove the cystic duct, so that we won't produce any injury to the CBD. Number two, ERCP with stone extraction, and in some cases, stone can be removed or we can put temporarily a stent inside. Thank you, Professor Dr. Selvaraj, for unraveling the complexities of Meniere's syndrome. This information is invaluable for medical professionals at all stages of their careers. It has been a pleasure, and I hope this discussion helps our audience gain a deeper understanding of Meniere's syndrome and its management. Early recognition is the key to prevent complications. Absolutely, doctor. To our listeners, thank you for listening us for this episode of Surgical Educator Podcast. Keep exploring the world of surgery by watching all our other episodes as well in this Surgical Educator Podcast. Until Next time, stay curious. Bye-bye.